It's our series of conversations with Wisconsin mayors drilling down on local issues here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our next stop is Superior on the western end of Lake Superior, northwestern Wisconsin. But first, we stop in on our winter member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Molly Stentz, and as a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you join us on The Morning Show. And that is thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of the funding for WPR programs. And when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make The Morning Show possible. You make everything else you hear on WPR possible.
And Kate, we have this dollar-for-dollar match going right now. We have over $1,600 left. It's a great time to donate because members like us, including a member in Black River Falls, they will double every dollar that you give right now. It's their way of inspiring you, motivating you, cajoling you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your impact. Give us a call, 888-202-2552.
And we just caught up with the only Black-owned bookstore in Milwaukee, looking at business insights, looking at Black author recommendations. It's one of the beautiful things of The Morning Show. We're always on this journey together, meeting so many interesting Wisconsinites who are on the move, maybe on a bicycle, and doing really good stuff. These are the kinds of conversations that you count on from The Morning Show.
And what I love is we go around the state and back again in the scope of an hour, you know, and it's because of donations from you and you and you out there. We are listener supported. That means it's your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 that makes all the topics you tune in for every day possible. You choose the amount that works for you. And make your gift.
And everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
You know, maybe that's what you pay for your cable, and maybe that's what you pay for your phone. But listening to WPR is a habit. It's something you probably do every day. So put a value on it. Pick a number. Give us a call. 1-888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is Wisconsin. I moved here from another state, and that was my introduction to Wisconsin. And every day, that's how I know what's going on in Wisconsin. On a monthly basis, I'm contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio. When I hear them talk about sustaining members, I realize that's me. And I kind of like that. Contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio makes you feel like you're part of a family or like a community. That's how I feel every month. And even if they're just giving a small amount, they could feel that way too. I'm Bridget from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Be a sustainer. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Molly Stentz. Listener support, it is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on. And it's why your support during this winter member drive is so important and your gift is being matched right now. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. It's matched, $100 a month matched. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
You know, many of us, we were told not to brag, but after you've made a donation to WPR, now's your chance. You can make your gift go further by telling your friends, telling your family.
And whether you use social media, call them up, mention it to them when you see them, just letting people know that you support WPR, and it will help. Plant that seed in their mind. So make your gift, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And then let your friends know how good it feels when you support the station you enjoy every day.
It feels so good. This dollar-for-dollar match, we've got $1,600 left to raise. You can do it. You can help us. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552, and your support will go twice as far.
And today only ask for the WPR t-shirt and mug bundle with your gift of $20 a month or more. Join in now to secure yours at WPR.org or 888 202 2552, and thank you for your support. Now to Superior, as part of our series of conversations, meeting with mayors from all over our state. The city is home to nearly 26,800 residents as of the latest census figures. Tracking population decline, though, since the 2010 census, losing about 500 residents, this following a trend seen in many rural Wisconsin communities. What speaks to you about Superior? Do you live in the Twin Ports? What's on your mind? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 for conversation. Jim Payne is mayor of Superior, first elected in 2017. Mayor Payne, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Well, I dare say I've got the wrong mayor. The mayor is a five-time Olympian, a gold medalist, a flag bearer into the bird's nest. I think the real mayor is John Schuster, I think.
Yeah, he's really stealing the show this week. We're all pretty proud of him.
We're mere mortals, and I think that he deserves a homecoming.
If he brings home gold, silver, bronze, we're going to be pleased to have him home no matter what. Those guys are doing great.
Well, let's get your reaction first to Governor Evers' State of the State address last night. What stood out to you?
Well, I think his signature policy of a $150 essentially rebate to all citizens, that's one of the most significant proposals. I think the one that's going to get the most attention. But the thing I appreciated most is his commitment to schools, and especially addressing the mental health crisis, both in our National Guard and among the schools. I mean, we elected a teacher for a reason, and especially after the pandemic, a lot of our local schools are in absolute crisis. So I really appreciated the governor making that a priority.
Certainly, you've been looking at safety net programs in your area. How are you dealing with mental health and dealing with homelessness and transitional housing? What is that like in Superior?
Well, we're trying to treat them as comprehensive issues and not look for one silver bullet that's going to solve the problem. In other words, we're trying to do it the hard way. Now, these are not the kind of issues that cities in Wisconsin usually work on, that often falls to counties and the state, but we're not trying to abdicate responsibility either. So first, we're trying to invest in a lot of the nonprofits that are already doing this work and succeeding in mitigating these crises. We're also looking for out-of-the-box solutions that we can fund. If there's one thing that cities can do, it's provide funding to programs that work well. And finally, we're trying to create partnerships with organizations like counties, with the school district, and adapt our own organizations like our police department to more adequately meet these crises and change the way they operate so that they can bring solutions and innovation rather than just try to respond to emergencies and crisis.
And as you look at these out-of-the-box programs and potential solutions and the work that these nonprofits are doing, you also have federal pandemic relief aid that you're looking to distribute. How does that factor in?
That's where we're going to take a lot of this money. So we recognize that these crises have been here for a while. We have an addiction crisis, a homelessness and poverty crisis, and mental health and mental illness have been very serious conversations for as long as I've been involved in local politics. But the pandemic made all of that worse. And so we're using a lot of that federal money to directly address some of these problems and to put money into these solutions. But we're also trying to think about what new ways we can rebuild and reorder our communities to make them better going forward and to create more stability and opportunity for everybody so that we can sort of look at the long-term structural issues that cause these problems and not just try and mitigate the worst effects.
So how do you get input on where to put $17 million. How do you make a plan for that and really hear what your community, what your residents want?
So the convenient thing about spending a lot of money is you're never really short on opinions on how to spend it. So we do quite a bit of public outreach within the city. We partner with a lot of organizations to do that. But the way I approached it is first and foremost to look at the spirit of that law. The federal administration asked us to build back better, and it asked us to invest in key things and to try and prevent a year like 2020 from happening again. And they gave us the resources to do that. So that largely drove the plan. But we also kept the money as broad as we could as we made a budget, so that organizations that were doing the work could come to us and tell us the best way to use it. So when I say we're investing in solutions, what that looks like in a budget, it says, for example, nonprofit grants, and that's it. That's just what it says. We then ask the nonprofits to come to us and tell us how you're going to help us work on this, and then we partner.
Jim Payne with us, Mayor of Superior, as we go around the state talking about local pressing issues and what local leaders are up against. You can join in with your questions. Perhaps you live in the Twin Ports. 800-642-1234. Nearly 4 years ago, the explosion at the Husky Energy Oil Refinery, it injured dozens of people, as you're well aware, caused a temporary city evacuation. The investigation with the Chemical Safety Board is still ongoing. Why hasn't the investigation released a report in nearly 4 years?
Sadly, that's a question I get every few months, and I just don't know the answer. We got some preliminary answers very quickly. And so I think here we feel like we have a fairly good understanding of what happened and what can be done to prevent it. And so as I have conversations with the refinery, which is under new ownership now, I'm able to pretty competently and intelligently speak to safety issues within the refinery. So we feel fairly prepared for the rebuild and the reopening of the refinery, but it's still a little disappointing that we don't have the final report. I mean, we're coming close to the opening bell here where that refinery returns to full operation, and we may feel like we have a lot of the facts. We might feel like we have enough of the facts, but we have to have them all, at least as many as we can possibly get. And so we're still looking forward to it. I wish I had the answer to that.
What has changed in terms of safety and prevention, especially in the face of local residents who had to really evacuate for their lives in a crisis?
Yeah, there are significant safety improvements in the refinery. The most important of which are around the storage and protection of the hydrogen fluoride tank, which was the toxic gas that could have been very, very dangerous to residents had that been released during the fire. That was part of the one of the main reasons for the evacuation. So there are significant safety improvements around that unit, which I do have to say, the safety mechanisms we had during the fire worked. That was a very serious fire that raged around that tank, and the mechanisms that the refinery had protected that tank. Nonetheless, we have asked for significant improvements, and we've gotten them. There is a reduction in the amount of hydrogen fluoride stored on site, significant improvements in protecting it from fire or explosion, as well as new mechanisms for disposing quickly of the chemical and rendering it inert, so that even if it has to endure another disaster, which of course we hope it doesn't, we'll be able to neutralize that chemical very, very quickly.
Let's turn our attention to the port of Duluth Superior, the largest harbor on the Great Lakes by volume. How is the pandemic affecting shipments at the port? What do you see in these times?
Believe it or not, obviously the pandemic has effects, that is true. But believe it or not, we're seeing an increase in our activity in the port over the long term, in that a lot of the major shipping companies and docks are making actual investments in shipping, and most people are optimistic about the long-term future of freight. Now, of course, the world is changing, but freight remains one of the most efficient and effective forms of large transportation, especially of commodities. The most significant thing I guess I'm seeing is a change in what is being shipped. This used to be a very significant coal port, and that is really shifting. And I've gotten in trouble for this before, but I think that's good news. Coal is not the future of the American energy economy. And we have a number of other commodities that can be shipped out of this port.
What commodities are on the rise?
Salt is a big one, and grain shipping continues to do well. We do a little bit of shipping of taconite from the Iron Range, but your basic commodities, salt and foodstuffs, are on the rise.
We've talked with mayors all over the state who say the housing crunch is a huge problem, the lack of affordable housing, the lack of new units going up, especially in smaller cities. What are you seeing in Superior?
We're actually seeing a growth in housing. Now, I don't want to diminish the fact that we do have an affordable housing crisis and we need to make direct investments in it. But you mentioned at the top of the show that our population fell by about 500 in the last census. We think we've already made that up since the census because of just new construction in new housing units. Now, new construction is not affordable. We have to be honest about that. It does in some cases free up other housing that is affordable. But the fact is, like our housing coordinator said to me in his job interview, if you want affordable housing, you have to build affordable housing. And so that's what we're going to do next year. We're going to put a direct investment in new construction of affordable housing to try and ease that burden.
What do you do with the aging stock and the lower quality stock of housing? What happens to
that? I was baiting you and I was hoping you would ask that question. We don't tear down houses. For years, we had an outright fund dedicated towards the demolition of so-called blight. I don't believe in blight. I don't believe there is a single house that can't be saved. If there's a wall standing, we can save that house. We have been correct. We have, I'm not saying we've never lost a house, but by getting a hold of these properties, usually by bailing owners out, we're able to turn them over to new developers to save them and with very few incentives. And the market's been able to save almost every single house, which keeps affordable housing stock on the market. And I mean, some of these are seem unsavable. We had one scheduled for demolition, but turn it around and it's affordable housing for a young family now.
Mayor Payne, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, of course.
Jim Payne, Mayor of Superior. We've talked with about a dozen mayors. Maybe yours should be next. Hit us up. It's a quick two-question form over at WPR.org/mornings. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. You are with us for The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Hope you stay around with us next hour as we discuss global sport and what these winter games signify. Now let's focus in on our winter member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Molly Stentz, and our goal is to keep bringing you topics like this, talking with mayors from all over the state, finding out what's really going on in Wisconsin at the local level and how, you know, we approach everyday challenges, callers advancing the conversation, asking thoughtful questions. This is where Wisconsin comes together, and it's your support that makes it all happen at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, I'm so excited. We are closing in on our goal. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from generous members, including one in Black River Falls. We have just over $300 left of this match. Yes, we can do this. Just a few moments left to double your support. Take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
In the last segment, we talked with the Mayor of Superior as we go around the state talking with more than a dozen mayors and hear what's relevant, what is pressing, what is happening at the local level so we can build out bigger conversations and know really what is happening at the ground level. These are the types of conversations that you can count on from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make the many topics that you tune in for every day possible. You choose the amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Showcasing your Wisconsin pride is now easier. Today only, ask for your WPR t-shirt and mug bundle. So our 2022 light blue shirt and ceramic mug. They share a design that celebrates sunny days spent outdoors in Wisconsin with your favorite public radio station. So act now, the special offer only available today with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I have a husband and three sons, and we're all very avid listeners. We feel that Wisconsin Public Radio provides objective and informative information about what's going on in the community. It certainly is a station where you can call in, and you know that for sure that if you have an opposing viewpoint, that it's going to be broadcast because this is public radio. I'm Joan Rudnitsky, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for objective information and entertainment.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to join Joan to make your donation to get it matched dollar for dollar. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Molly Stentz. It's your support during this winter member drive that is making the WPR programs you rely on possible. And so your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect, just a few hundred dollars left to raise. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And right now, your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And you might spend a few dollars a month on a TV streaming service or a movie subscription. We need not name names. Think about paying for your WPR usage that same way, because you join us every day for information and entertainment.
Today only, you can ask for the WPR t-shirt and bundle of a mug and a t-shirt for your gift of $20 a month or more. You can get yours at WPR.org. You can take a look at that snazzy t-shirt. You can call 888-202-2552.
Kathleen in Watertown says, I wake up to you all every morning. You help me learn about my world, laugh, cry, and have meaningful conversations with my kids, hopefully instilling an engagement with the world in them too. Thank you, Kathleen, for those words. Your gift now, so important, at WPR.org. And thank you for your support.